everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you every day talking about HR with the folks that are getting it done. So, and especially today. So one of my longtime favorites, not only in the HR space, but in the world, is our guest today. So let me introduce again, been a little while, but glad to have you back. Trish McFarland, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Well, thank you. That was quite an introduction. Favorite in the world. That's good. I'm going to have a lot to live up to, I think.
Well, you know, we've actually stood on the pitch in England together with our name in front of 5,000 people. So that's pretty cool.
That's true. Not many people can say that. So you're right. We have done some little worldly traveling together.
Absolutely. So, and lots of fun attached to the worldly traveling. So, but if you would introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and then we'll roll into kind of what's top of mind with you.
Great. I'd love to. Well, I'm Trish McFarland. I am the head of HR for an IT consulting firm here in St. Louis called Proficient, and I've been here about a year and a half. In addition to that, I've been an HR blogger for about 4.5 years now at HRRingleader.com, and also put together the HR Evolution conference that occurs at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, and I've been doing that. We've had 5 already and planning the 6th, so that's how I keep busy most of the time. And then when I'm at home, I have 9-year-old twins, and they keep me pretty busy as well when I'm not doing HR things. So that's me in a nutshell.
Wow, that's plenty. To say the least. So, I know we talked a little bit in pre-show. So, what's kind of occupying the top of your thoughts today?
Well, you know, I mean, for me, there's obviously a lot going on in the HR world in general, and of course, in any normal day-to-day job. But as I mentioned earlier, I think that HR learning and knowing other parts of the business seems to be something I'm hearing about more and more. And I think what's different than maybe in the last couple of years, because this is obviously a topic that sort of circles back around, specifically it's how I'm seeing that there are HR professionals that are now more hungry to learn it. So before, I mean, I feel like 2, 3, 4 years ago, we were sort of hearing like HR people need to know the business, and there was some reluctance and some hesitancy there. I feel like the difference that I'm seeing, and maybe it's top of mind because just coming back off of SHRM annual, and then also having returned before that from the PRS brand camp down in Dallas, I'm hearing a lot about HR and recruiting professionals who really want to understand the ins and outs of the business from a financial standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, and they're just hungry for it, which is good. I think that's a good problem to have in front of you because it's something you can learn and easily manage on your own. So.
What's happening? Where's the shift coming from that, you know, you are seeing people more eager to understand other parts of the business?
Well, I think a couple things. So, you know, the economy's been sort of, you know, in the dumps for a while, and as people are now starting to feel like, okay, you know, maybe they've been in the same job for a while, they're starting to look at what skills are they going to have, they being the HR professionals and recruiters, what skills are they going to have to get that next job, because it's going to be a little competitive, you know, getting those really, really choice spots, and not being able to go and have any understanding of how to read a balance sheet or really how internal communications need to tie to the external branding. I mean, I think you kind of hear and see things written all the time, but if, you know, when I'm talking about the people who work in these trenches day to day, they're just not taught that at work typically. So I know I did a session at SHRM on HR thinking creatively, and we actually did a 4-hour workshop, Julie Moreland and I did, and walked people through starting a business from scratch. Now, these were all HR professionals and recruiters, and there was some trepidation in the room, but definite interest, which was good. But at the very thought of what if we took some idea, you know, some hobby, something you're passionate about that's not HR, and really had you sit down and think about in just a couple hours, how would you start a business doing this? How would you go about writing the financial plans and getting your funding, and who would you turn to, and where would you go for advice, and what are all these steps that you would go through to do that, and then breaking on into the marketing strategy, and then ultimately how that leads to the people strategy. It was like watching people's eyes just open for the first time, and the feedback just in these last couple of days, and maybe that's why it's top of mind, is that getting all this feedback from HR managers and directors saying, thank you so much. I went back to work, and I'm going to try and get involved with our marketing team. I'm going to try and get involved with our CFO or the controller. To me, that's great. I mean, it's not influential to be on a list somewhere. It's influential if you touch a person, and then they come back and say, you know what, I'm going to change how I do my business because I learned something. So I think that's just been a really good lesson for me in the last couple of weeks.
Do you think, do you feel, let me rephrase that. So do you feel that this is going to be something you're going to see more and more, is that finally the whole collaboration component where HR is involved more with operations, marketing, sales, do you think we're right at the edge of that starting to happen as a whole?
I hope so. I think that as there's more and more interest and buzz in the HR space about this, that we're going to be pushing for these relationships. Now, I will tell you, in many companies, you know, they haven't had that bond before, and so this is going to be a slow process. I don't think it's going to be easy, because you are going to have to sort of, you know, learn over time. You're going to have to maybe take a class here and there, have, you know, multiple meetings with some of these leaders so that you can understand what they do. In turn, though, the benefit is so great, because then it has your marketing leaders and your financial leaders in your company really understanding HR a little bit better too, or understanding why a recruiter is working with a certain hiring leader on workforce planning the way that they are. So I feel like it's more education for everybody. You know, it's just a different look. I think this also really came up. Sher Emanuel has a great thing for the professionals to come to called The Hive, so that they can come and it's initially designed to set up social media type questions. I can't even tell you, though, how many conversations that people had with me about setting up a marketing strategy. How do I do that? And it wasn't just social. So it might start out like talking about social, but then it would lead into their overall marketing strategy for their, you know, maybe they were a consultant or something. So again, I think there's this curiosity, and now they're feeling empowered to ask and to try it. Like, they don't have to necessarily go and let someone else do that piece. They can really contribute to the company in that way.
Cool, that's great, Trish. Well, this is Nisha. And to your point, you know, for those HR professional who started their profession from a traditional HR profession and would like to become strategic partners, so for them, a great support from the leaders and from the management team is really imperative. So what are your thoughts to those to, you know, encourage their HR professionals to move outside of their comfort zone and to collaborate with the marketing or with the finance team or even with the IT department?
Well, I think one thing I would suggest is that it really leads to better overall engagement, not just for that particular individual who's branching out, but for the whole team. So, for example, I use myself as an example. In the companies I've worked in, I've always been very close with the marketing leaders. And when your entire team sees you having that relationship and having input and asking questions, it empowers them to do the same. It empowers them to reach out. And if you're the leader of a certain part of the organization, I think it's your duty to help train your professionals to have those types of relationships. So even if it's something simple like, you know, we're going to do a survey, you know, I might say, hey, you know what, why don't you, instead of trying to craft this email on your own or this invitation on your own, why don't you partner with someone in the marketing team? Just see what you might come up with together. And so it's when you start giving those little nudges that it makes it really easy, and then that becomes a day-to-day thing where it's very comfortable and you're feeling welcomed into these other groups to have some input, and then you have to be reciprocal. You have to invite them to you know, to your meetings once in a while, or into, you know, maybe communications you're trying to do, or if it's a financial issue, you know, having it go both ways, it just makes everyone more engaged in the overall business, which I think is obviously what senior leadership wants. You know, they want higher engaged people.
You know, and it's what's really cool is those conversations, and I had, you know, in really lucky to have them all the time, with people that are totally know their business, the HR practitioners. Like, for example, Melissa Fairman. Totally, we had a good conversation, and just her educating me on the business. It's not so much the talent acquisition needs or anything else. It was just a straight up like, yeah, here's kind of things we know that's coming in the business and we're looking out for. And it wasn't like, well, I'm not sure. It was very, this is what I do every day, right? Like, she could swing, she could literally jump over into operations. It was that confident, and I believe she could. Or she could jump over and learn about marketing and start doing that if she had an interest. And that's what's exciting, when you can start interchanging HR and rotating them into other roles, and they obviously will hopefully do really, really well.
I agree. And you know, that comes up quite often now, is where people are, you know, maybe they're at a company they really like and there isn't that upward mobility that they want. Well, what can you do that's, even if it's lateral, even if it's lateral into a different department, it just opens up so many more opportunities for you if you've got a little bit of background, or you're seen as someone who's kind of able to play in different areas of the company like that. I mean, you're right. Operations is a great next step for someone who's been in HR. And I'll tell you what, I think that, at least from what I hear, recruiters don't get enough credit on knowing the business, because really your recruiting team, they are the ones who are instrumental in talking with those hiring leaders day in and day out about what they're looking for in the very specific roles and responsibilities. So they really do have a great understanding of the business typically. And that's, I feel like that's where we need to capture that a little bit more too. You know, if you have any kind of, you know, there are companies where recruiting and HR are one department, there are companies where they're not. But in my opinion, I think if you can tap into some of the information your recruiters are getting, you're going to have that better understanding of that particular business unit or that particular department or whatever the breakdown is. So, you know, I think recruiters too, maybe you don't want to be in a recruiting your entire career. You know, maybe you do want to move on to some of those other roles like operations, and how better to do that than to be talking to those hiring leaders every single day?
I totally agree with that. Because, go ahead, Brian.
No, go ahead, Nisha. You're good.
Yeah. So talking about the recruiting aspect or the recruiter's profile, normally when we say about the strategic partners, as you said, recruiters won't come up in that picture. But I totally agree that, you know, the cost of hire, that being really managed by the recruiters. So especially when they hire a proper culture fit candidate, we're going to save our money in terms of, you know, not spending too much money in terms of hiring another candidate or another employee when someone is going to resign, or if you hit any attrition problem. So it's their contribution to the company that bringing the best talent that's kind of stick with the company for a longer period of time, which is totally engaged with the culture and a perfect fit.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example here. I mean, a shout out to my colleague, Michelle Valentine. She's our director of talent acquisition. And, you know, she is definitely one of those recruiters who knows strategy. She incorporates that so that, you know, it's not like going to McDonald's where you just say, hey, give me a Big Mac, and they give you a Big Mac. You know, it's not that kind of recruiting. It's, you know, when you go to someone on the team here anyway, because of the way she leads it, you know, the hiring leader may ask for, you know, a certain type of employee, and they have that business knowledge to kind of come in and say, are we sure this is what we want? Maybe we could tweak it this way. Let's look at workforce planning models. You know, so it's a broader strategic discussion. And I think that's what companies need to go for, is something where your recruiters really are part of your overall business strategy discussion. They're not just there to fill a job.
Well, Trish, let me grab a quick reset. Everybody, this is Drive Through HR. Brian and Nisha, we're talking with Trish McFarland. And So, Trish, we just came off of a few days in Chicago at the National SHRM Annual Conference, and you presented, you were part of, you were at the Hive talking to people on the social, on social media. So what exactly, you went to sessions, you saw keynotes, what's something that really, really inspired you out of this SHRM conference?
You know, I think for me it was, I really liked the vibe in the expo hall. And the reason was that I felt like that's where most or a lot of the networking was happening. So great sessions as always. I mean, it's overwhelming when you think of any one particular time period at SHRM Annual. I counted in one time slot there were over 25 sessions. So you can't go wrong. You know, it's sort of like throwing the dart at the wall. You're going to hit a good one to go to and to learn from in most cases. I heard a lot of people really talking about the compliance-driven sessions, which, you know, you might think, oh, that's not really fun, but it's really needed. And so a lot of, I think, people that were pleased with what was offered this year from a session standpoint. But for me, I just still love walking around the vendor floor, whether I'm in the mode of purchasing something or not, just to see what's coming, you know, to see what's working, to see what tweaks have been made since last year on some of these different solutions. And I like to see the vendors out there. It feels like it's becoming less and less about little tchotchkes to get you into their booth, but they really just want to talk to you. And it doesn't feel like a sales pitch as much anymore. So I like that. I like that networking with the vendors a little bit, too.
You know, the vendor hall was actually, this is probably the best setup I've seen in the vendor hall in all the SHRM annual conferences I've been to, because it's 750 vendors. I mean, it's a massive expo hall. And they just really dialed it in. It seemed to be laid out well. It seemed to flow. Like, there were a lot of people in the vendor hall all the time, which was actually really exciting, because you do. I agree with you 100% that there was a lot more kind of just easy flow networking. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just where you actually run into people. And I saw a bunch of different people, and I thought the overall vibe was good. I mean, there's always elements of desperation, which drives me into a wall from some vendors, where I'm just like, God, get off me. I don't want pet insurance. I do not need pet insurance. And that dog better not be tranquilized, because that'll piss me off.
You're so funny. No, you're right. There were a handful that would attack. That's true. That's absolutely true. But I think most were really well-behaved. I think the other thing, too, where you're talking about running into people, I will tell you, that was the first time I've actually presented at the annual event, and mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe I'm more outgoing when it comes to my own sessions, but, I mean, I would see people from my session, because mine was on Sunday, and maybe it's because I had 4 hours with them, so I got to know them a little bit better, but, oh, my gosh, it was like we were all old friends. By the time, you know, we got out of our session, we were already talking about a reunion next year, and, you know, staying in touch and all this. And so as we walked along, as like I'd be in the expo hall or even just walking in between buildings, you know, you'd see people that you met in your session and be like, hey, Trish, hey, how are you? You know, back and forth. I love that. I love having brand new people I've never seen before in my life that are now like a connection, you know, so pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's super interesting. And I mean, and I think part of it is, I mean, you had a long, I mean, that's a long workshop.
They were captive audience, weren't they?
They, you know, and that specific, you know, the content you were doing is because it's so interactive and people actually have to kind of internally collaborate and kind of go in bigger groups and as a bigger group, kind of talk and collaborate and brainstorm. And, you know, there's a little bit of risk in that for people to push through and not be embarrassed or maybe, you know, say something they didn't mean. So there's a little more, you know, it's definitely got a little more traction to it than just a normal session.
Right.
So I could see where you guys, you know, that's a good half day you're spending with people you've never met before, talking about something that it sounds like went really, really well. So that's very cool.
Thank you.
So what's... So what do you think would be good takeaways? I mean, because now we're a week past, or sort of a week past term, and everybody's back in the grind, or back in the opportunity, however you want to look at it, of the day-to-day tactical stuff and trying to be strategic and implement all these things. What are some ways for people actually to think about what they did and what they learned to actually put into action? Just maybe some framework from your perspective.
Well, I think you have to schedule it. It's just that simple, because I'm no different than anyone else. I come back, you know, of course you're trying to catch up on your work, and you've been trying to probably answer emails while you were gone in between sessions and whatnot. So it's really important, and it sounds so simple, but just sit down and schedule it. You know, find one person in your organization you don't know well, or you don't know what they do very well. Have coffee with them. Just invite them for 20 minutes. I mean, everybody's got 15 or 20 minutes. If you met someone brand new at the event, or maybe not even brand new, but someone that you just don't know well, or you're not really sure what they do for a living, you know they're in HR, you know they're a recruiter, but that's about all you know, shoot them an email. Ask them to have a short conversation with you. I mean, there has never been a time where I have spent 15 or 20 or 30 minutes doing that, that it hasn't been completely beneficial for both parties. You know, you make these connections, and they really do become your sounding board, and they help you learn. And they'll turn you on to other resources, a book, an article. You know, it's amazing how that all flows. So, again, I think it's very small baby steps that you have to take after an event like SHRM or any other event that you go to. Try and keep in touch with, you know, maybe one person a week. Make it a reasonable goal. And then do it, like really stick to it. Even if it, you know, before you get into work every day, the first thing you do, that's what you do. And, you know, then you're off on your day and working. But I really would schedule it. That's the best tip I can come up with.
You know, I actually downloaded Blake Makowski's book from Tom Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to read it this weekend, but I didn't quite have the focus that one would like. But I got the majority of it read, and that's one of the things that he shared in there, is that he schedules everything, so he doesn't have to worry about it. And he said it's not. He goes, bottom line is if he's talking to somebody, he doesn't have to worry about he's missing something or he's supposed to be somewhere else. So he just schedules. He goes, I'm a meticulous scheduler. He goes, I schedule everything, and then I don't have to worry about it. And when I'm off the grid, he goes, I don't have to worry about it because I've scheduled it. He goes, that just helps me manage. So it's just appropriate to say, schedule in 15 minutes to reach out. Like, put it on your calendar. Reach out to this person. And I have a few of those, actually. I just put them on the schedule. Like, I need to reach out and talk to Brian Chaney, or I need to reach out and talk to Trish McFarland.
I have a list.
Like that's a reoccurring one on my calendar, by the way.
Yeah, I even separate than that, I have it in Excel, and maybe it's a dorky way to approach it, I don't know, but I have a list of people that I've met over the years, and I try and make sure that I'm at least having some kind of conversation, email, some kind of meaningful something with them, even if it's just once a quarter or even twice a year. I mean, you know, you've got your regular day life too, right? But yeah, it's absolutely manageable, and it means so much. It brings so much value to your life when you have those relationships. So
that's actually a great tip, though.
Yeah,
I know, I'm like a spreadsheet
part.
Maniac.
you kind of up the game with the meaningful component there.
Well, and then if you can be on Drive-Thru HR, see, I just knocked you both right off the list just with that one call. So,
good.
See how that works?
Yeah, it's actually a great tip. Normally, I've seen that. Normally, what happens is during the conference, everybody's like, "Hey, hi, I'm meeting you first time, and it's been really exciting, wonderful." But then what it really matters is, like, do you continue that? What do you do to continue that relationship and keeping in touch with that person again, probably after the conference or whenever you get a chance, and make it intentional? I totally appreciate Brian and Trish for this particular insight.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard because you would think at a conference, some people who don't go think, oh, it's just all fun and games and you're, you know. No, if you see someone for more than 2 or 3 minutes, I feel like that's a lot because I felt like a lot of what I'm doing is just like, oh, hey, how are you? Hey, I saw you a month ago or 6 months ago, and then you're off to the next thing. You know, you're not really – everybody's running 20 different directions. You don't have that time to sit down at an event and really find out how that person is doing.
It is a lot. Even with people that you absolutely adore and care about and want time and you kind of blocked it out, it's hard then because all
Absolutely.
Of a sudden days go by and everybody is just in the mix. And so, okay, I've got a question for both of you, and I'll answer it also. So who are the top three people that you were able to meet? And if you don't have three, that's fine, or you don't have any, that's fine, but no more than three because we only have 3 minutes left. So who are the top three people that you actually met this time at SHRM 2013?
Oh, goodness. She can
and
go first. How about that? Or you go first.
Nisha, I'll go first. I'll go first.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. See? So you guys can think for a second.
Yeah,
well,
let us
I,
think
I
for
I
a second.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Well, actually, so, I met a lot of people. It's not like I cannot differentiate, I cannot pinpoint the three people were the top three people. But of course, all people are in my. I had a list that I prepared before going to SHRM. I wanted to meet all those people that I've been following on social media, like Steve Brown, Ryan Thon, China Garmin, and Tiffany Miller. Who else? A lot of people. Oh, Jennifer Payne. I cannot name any single person saying these were the top three people. But I had some real wonderful conversation with specific real time talking with Steve Brown and Ryan Thon and Tiffany Miller. I'm sorry, Tiffany Cole. So that's what I like to say. And as I said in the beginning, and as Trish mentioned, it's all about meaningful conversation rather than just saying hi and bye. But that in real life moment is really exciting and memorable.
So Trish, what about you?
You want me to do mine? Okay. So,
yeah.
Well, the first one was someone I did not know from social, but he came to the Hive. His name was Bill Sidhu, S-I-D-H-U. And he runs a company called HSA Advisory Group. Fascinating guy. And I wound up giving him, he wanted some Twitter help and whatnot, and so I gave him a list of kind of people you should follow and try and get to know a little bit in the space. And then it was like I'd run into him places, and so whoever I happened to be around, I would introduce Bill to. And so it turned out to be kind of a fun guy. I think he met more HR people than he ever planned to. I was really glad to meet Bill. Very interesting guy. And in my role, obviously, things like HSAs are very information on them is very needed. So that was a good person to meet. Also, Stacy Zappar. So we have been friends online forever and just dying to meet each other. So I think meeting her was like meeting my long-lost sister. And we had lots of fun, and we'll definitely be seeing each other in the future. And then Rochelle Falls, I think she is amazing. Again, someone I've known sort of online, but didn't get to spend even near enough time with this time. So that's probably my top three.
Sweet. Well, we got about 30 seconds left. My top three was I got to meet Chloe Rada from Sodexo in person, which was fantastic. That was...
I didn't even see her there. She's lovely.
She was on my list. She was on my list. John Hudson, another Chicago guy. From Marco. Amazing. Great. And last one was Brian Chaney. I'd never met him in person or didn't remember. But I don't think we'd ever met.
Oh, yeah,
so,
Brian. I'm with you. I hadn't met Brian either. He's a good one.
So, all solid people. Well, Nisha, Trish, we are out of time. Again, it was a lovely conversation. I can't get enough time with either one of you, but I'll just live with what I have. And everybody, have a great rest of the day. We are out of here.
Okay, Sugitana. Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Q-Tip.
Where were you going? Who were you going with?
Me out.